glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Shigo Uranga. Namo Vishvada Yigisham Shevutari Shimate Romapada Swami Tiyamine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text Number 53, entitled Prahlad Pacifies Lord Nrisimhadev with Prayers. Manaprinatan Ashyusman Darshanan Durlabam Hime Dristva Mam Na Punarjantur Atmanan Taptum Arhati Manaprinatan Ajushman Darshanan Durlabham Hime Dristva Mam Na Punarjantur Atmanan Taptun Arhati Manaprinatan Ajushman Darshanan Durlabham Hime Dristva Mam Na Punarjantur Atmanan Taptun Arhati. Please chant. Ladies. Man, me, aprinataha, not pleasing, Ajushman, O long-living Prahlad, darshanam, seeing, durlabham, very rare, he, indeed, may, of me, Dristva, after seeing, Man, me, Na, not, Punaha, again, Jantuhu, the living entity, Atmanam, for himself, Taptum, to lament, Arhati, deserves. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear Prahlad, may you live a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. But one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. Purport. One cannot be happy under any circumstance unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one who has learned how to please the Supreme Lord need no longer lament for his material condition. Mam aprinata ayushman darshanan durlabhan hime dristva man na punar jantur atmanan taptum arhati. My dear Prahlad, may you live a long life. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. But one who have seen or pleased me have nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Ramapada Swami Iti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Adi Satarine Bancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, my boss asked me to speak today. His Grace Nityananda Prana Prabhu was scheduled to give the class, but he arrived very late yesterday, so he just sent me a text if I can cover. So again, I didn't prepare very much, so just bear with me. It's a very short purport, but it's such an important principle that it's nice just to focus on this this idea. And this is Lord Nrisimhadev speaking to Prahlad Maharaj. Now, Lord Nrisimhadev, well, after Prahlad Maharaj pacifies the Lord with beautiful prayers, especially highlighting the position of the Lord and his positions as a devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, he exemplifies the process of devotional service of remembering, always remembering the Lord, Vishnu Smaranam. So he was the example, the main example of that process. There's 9 processes of devotional service. We spoke the other day about them. Shavanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Archanam Dasyam Bandhanam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. Hearing and chanting, remembering the Lord, worshipping his lotus feet, worshipping his deity form, serving the Lord, praying to the Lord, developing a friendship towards the Lord, and surrendering everything towards the Lord. So each of these 9 processes of devotional service has a personality that fully exemplifies this process, no? These 9 processes. You know those? the night. Well, the each person that exemplifies everybody. So the first one, hearing, is exemplified by Parikshit Maharaj. So and the kirtan or the chanting or the glorifying the Lord is exemplified by Sukadev Goswami. So Sukadev Goswami and Prahlad Parikshit Maharaj exemplify this principle of hearing and chanting. Prahlad Maharaj is remembering the Lord Krishna Vishnu Smaranam and worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, famous Lakshmi Devi, and worshipping the Lord. The deity form of the Lord is Prithu Maharaj. No, is it Prithu Maharaj? Prithu Maharaj, right? Prithu Maharaj, yes. Prithu Maharaj is a Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord. Is considered one of the avatars of the Lord. But it's a living entity. And he exemplified the perfect king. And he was a great king, and he used everything in his kingdom to worship the deity form of the Lord. So he exemplifies that. And Dasyan, the great devotee, Hanuman exemplified Dasya. And Vandanan, prayer, was who? Akrura, his prayers, his beautiful prayers, in of expectation of meeting the Lord in Vrindavan when he was given the task to go and fetch Krishna to take him to Mathura to you know cancel have his plan that fire back at him. Akrura. And Sakyan, who was a famous friend of Krishna, Arjuna. And Atma Nivedana, who surrendered everything to Krishna, very beautiful pastime. Who? Bali Maharaj, who the famous pastimes of now, you put, where should I put my third step? And Bali Maharaj, in my head, my Lord. So he surrendered everything. So, Prahlad Maharaj offered the beautiful prayers to the Lord. And you know, from his position of being a devotee, so he was highlighting that the special unfortunate position of being a devotee of the Lord. So the devotion, he highlighted devotional service, how only by devotional service one can actually establish that relationship and being able to connect fully with the personality of Godhead. Only through devotional service one can know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Nrisimhadev was very pleased by Prahlad Maharaj, and he started to address Prahlad Maharaj. And this is... this is Lord Nrisimhadev speaking to him. So he's starting to give benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj and confirm that yes, that one cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. And how do you please the Lord? Prabhupada says here in the purport, it's a very short purport, but it's such a, it's like a sutra, it's packed. So, you know, it's such a wonderful principle. It's such an important principle that we have to really go deep into. One cannot be happy under any circumstance unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one has to learn how to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's an art. It's a purpose of education that we're receiving, how to please the personality of Godhead, how to please him. There are many people who are There are many people who are religious. There's many people who are searching their relationship with the personality of God, or at least trying to understand transcendence. And of those who have accepted, at least, you know, the personal aspect of the Lord. Sorry. Those who have accepted that personal aspect of the Lord, they strive to make that connection and to be able to sort of function within that connection of, you know, a personal connection with God. But there are so many different levels of consciousness. Krishna explains, you know, that there's four types of people, pious people who approach him, meaning, you know, that they connect with Krishna in a personal way and approach him. Artha jigyasa artarti, what is it? Artha jigyasa artarti and the jnani, yes. Jnanatvam, how's it called? Jnanancha bharata shabda. Four types of people. Someone who's looking for some better material situation. So, for fortune. Someone who is in distress, who actually is looking for some alleviation of some distressful situation. Someone who is inquisitive, who just, you know, who likes to understand things and come to the conclusion that, yes, you know, there's more to it. And just by observing the world, actually, one can come to a conclusion that there have to be something supreme. And then there's someone who is actually searching for the absolute truth, the jnani. And all of these persons have a motivation. And because there's a motivation, it's more, I'm approaching the Lord, but to get something for myself. And Krishna says in the following verse of that Bhagavad Gita, that's in the 7th chapter, that he appreciates them very much. And, you know, they're dear to him. He actually uses the word, they're all dear to me. But of all of them, of all of those, the four, the one, the jnani, the one who is looking for transcendental, he's better. He's closest. But still, there's a motivation. There's a motivation. And as long as there's a motivation, then the Lord is pleased. It's a relationship of you taking, but you're not giving a lot. You know, you're actually doing it for yourself. So it's less pleasing, but nevertheless, it pleases the Lord. So it's something that is expected, that is natural there, but conditioned souls. It's like, you know, babies only take and take and take and take. And the parent is just very happy to give. Like that. So that's the position of the conditioned soul. And a much higher position is the position of someone who has actually developing bhakti. And as we develop bhakti, basically what we're doing is cleaning all these different motivations. They're called upadis. There are different ideas that we have that are simply trying to, is a particular conception that we have of, I am this type of being and this will make me happy. Like that. So we stand to get rid of all those upadis, those designations and ideas that have nothing to do with our spirit, well, a spiritual being, and as we cleanse those, we actually becoming more and more established in our eternal position, which is a devotee, you know, an eternal servant. So the position of a devotee completely established in his pure position is unmotivated. It's an unmotivated devotion. Ahaitukiya pratiyata. No motivation, no interruption. So that is the position of a devotee. So that position, not only you be happy, finally, Prabhupada say here, one cannot be happy under any circumstance. So you'll be happy and the Lord will be most pleased. But I was just thinking, again, just coming back to the question, okay, we're learning how to please the Lord. And in our something that is very relevant for us in our training, we recite this every day. How do we please the Lord the best? What is the best type of satisfaction that we give to the Lord? And we can think, okay, you know, I can cook very nice for the Lord, or I can sing for him very nicely, or I can do so many things, you know, so many different aspects of devotional service. How we know we're pleasing him? No, well, I'm doing a rhetorical question. How do we know that we're pleasing him? I remember when I was first, you know, a new devotee, I was told that we know that devotee, how do we know that devotee is pleased? How do we know that Krishna is pleased? When we see that the devotees are pleased, right? So, if you see the devotees are happy, you know, I was being trained to cook by one wonderful lady, Mataji devotee. That's one of the things that she was saying. When you see the devotees are very happy, then you see Krishna has accepted. Krishna has enjoyed the offering. When you see the devotees' satisfaction when taking the prasadam. So I was remembering that. I love the service of cooking because it's a very tangible experience seeing the devotee's satisfaction. And, you know, it's always wonderful just to stand and see the devotees taking prasadam. And then you see, oh, Krishna is very happy when you see the devotees smile and enjoying and, you know, having a great time with, you know, sitting down with a... It's like a scene out of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I always think like that, you know, the devotees enjoying the, you know, prasadam and the association, you know, like that. So the Lord is very satisfied when and the way of understanding how satisfied is when you see the devotee is happy, like that. And the fact is that we hear that this principle of making the devotee happy, pleasing the devotee, is the principle by which Krishna becomes very satisfied. And in many instances, say, you know, Krishna's devotees are very dear to Krishna. So serving the devotees is the key. Is the key for us to develop also that sweet and beautiful connection with the Lord. And understanding that we are actually serving him. So it is not recommended necessarily that we jump and then, oh, yeah, we just serve Krishna. But the devotees, well, you know, that is called Prakita, Prakita Bhakta. That is the principle of need. That's the level. That's one of the characteristics of this level of being a devotee in the lowest level, the neophyte level. So, in general, you know, as we started, we are, you know, beginners. We're neophyte. It's not, you know, an insult. It's actually a wonderful position. We're actually, you know, being with devotees. But we're starting to be educated. We're beginners. You know, we're in the sort of elementary school. And one of the characteristics that we have as, or most of the ones of us who are in this level, is that we don't see necessarily the other devotees, we see the Lord. Or we, you know, worshiping Krishna and like that. Sometimes you see it. There was some time in temples, you know, that you see. You hear. We have this experience of some congregation members being a little concerned about saving money from in the temple. So, you know, why, you know, the devotees are supposed to be renounced, so we don't have to spend too much money on heat, you know, so they can use a blanket and, you know, and be renounced. So why do they need the comforts of, you know, some heat in the winter like that? So we can save some money. Or you can just cook for Krishna a little bit, and then the devotees can be served the leftovers of, you know, whatever program of feast like that. So it's supposed to be renounced like that. That's not a good mentality. We actually have to see the devotees. In fact, Krishna himself said that this worship of the devotees should be greater than the worship to him. It's a famous verse, actually. I'm going to look for it here. I remember it's in the Prabhupada quotes this very much. It's in the Uddhava Gita, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna is having this conversation with Uddhava, and Uddhava is asking questions to Krishna, and among the questions that he asks to Krishna is, you know, please tell me about devotional service. And he wanted, you know, that knowledge that would help him. He's taking the position, of course, Uddhava, but he's taking the position of a conditioned soul in a dark well, you know, suffering so much. So this knowledge of devotional service, so it's an amazing part of the Bhagavatam. Krishna says this. Let me look here. One second. Yeah. Is the canto 11, text number, chapter 19, text 20 to 24. Actually, this is very much to the point of this verse. Krishna starts to explain what's important for him, how you can worship him, what is, you know, these principles of bhakti, you know. So he gives different aspects, and among those is one that Prabhupada quotes very much. The Sanskrit is Mat Bhakta Puja Bhyadika. Mat Bhakta Puja Vyadika. What does that mean? I read the whole translation of the whole thing, of the whole verse. It's very wonderful. Okay, he says, Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, firm faith in the blissful narrations of my pastimes, constant chanting of my glories, unwavering attachment to ceremonial worship of me, praising me through beautiful hymns, great respect for my devotional service, offering obeisances with the entire body, performing first-class worship of my devotees. That's the translation. Prabhupada translates this different when he quotes this verse. He says that the worship of my devotee is greater than the worship of me. So he explained. I'm going to read the purport. I think it's very important. It's nice that I remember this. Okay, so first-class worship of my devotee, consciousness of me in all living entities, offering of ordinary bodily activities in my devotional service, use of words to describe my qualities, offering the mind to me, rejections of all material desires, giving up wealth for my devotional service, renouncing material sense gratification and happiness, and performing all desirable activities such as charity, sacrifice, chanting, vows, and austerities for the purpose of achieving me. These constitute actual religious principle by which those human beings who have actually surrendered themselves to me automatically develop love for me. What other purpose of goal could remain for my devotee? And then Prabhupada explains in the purport. It's not a long purport, but it's also amazing. And touches, you know, this principle of pleasing the Lord. The words Mad Bhakta Puja Vyadika are significant in this verse. Abhyadika indicates superior quality. The Lord is extremely satisfied with those who offer worship to his pure devotees, and he rewards them accordingly, because the Lord's generous appraisal of his pure devotees' worship of the pure devotees is described as superior to worship to the Lord himself. The words mat arteshu angachesta state that ordinary bodily activities such as brushing the teeth, taking bath, eating, etc., should be all offered to the Supreme Lord as devotional service. The words bacha, bachasa, mat guneranam indicate that whatever one speaks in ordinary, crude language or with learned poetic eloquence, one should describe the glories of the personality of Godhead. The words mat arte rita parityaga indicates that one should spend one's money for festivals glorifying the personality of Godhead, such ratra yatra jammastami gaur purnima. Also, one is herein instructed to spend money to assist the mission of the spiritual master and other Vaishnavas. Wealth cannot be used properly in the Lord's service and is thus an impediment to one's clear consciousness, should be given up entirely. The word bogasya refers to sense gratification headed by sex enjoyment, and sukasya refers to sentimental material happiness. Excessive family attachment. The words datan hutam indicates that one should offer to brahmanas and Vaishnavas first-class food cooked in ghee. One should offer the vibration swaha to Lord Vishnu in an authorized sacrificial fire alone with grains and ghee. The word Juptan indicates that one should constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. So, going back to this principle of worshiping the devotee, Lord Shiva also says that. That's a famous statement. that that he told Parvati, and this is from the Puranas, from the Padma Purana. Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnur, aradhanam param. So he's playing that worship of Lord Vishnu is supreme. It's the best of all worships. But he say tasman parataram devi taitan samarchanam. But even higher the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of the devotee. So now, specifically for us, you know, we should not see a difference. I mean, we sing that every morning. Jasya prasadam, Bhagavat prasadam, Jasya prasadam, Nagati kutopi. Jasya prasadam, Bhagavan prasadam, Jasya aprasadam. So, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by satisfying the spiritual master. And if we don't satisfy the spiritual master, there's no question of satisfying the personality of God. So, so this principle of the relationship that we have with the spiritual master and the relationship that we have to the spiritual master get extended to the whole community of devotees like that. But the training of having this important relationship with the spiritual master and pleasing the spiritual master is the principle by which we can actually offer service and please the personality of Godhead. In general, we can fall into this trap. It happens too as neophyte devotees. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur described that, you know, sometimes we can actually become a little proud of our spiritual achievements. And again, we've been saying this a little bit too, take it for granted that you know, by serving the spiritual master and by your sincerity and your service like that, then you start to become, you know, good, or you start to do it nicely. By the blessings of the spiritual master and the blessings of the deities of Krishna, then we start to get some power, some capacity of doing things nicely. And we start to think, I'm actually capable like that. I can preach, I have success, I can make devotees, I can sing very nicely, I can cook so nicely, I can talk very nicely and inspire people like that. So I'm starting to have some success on that. And I become a little proud about it. It's some of the you know, pitfalls or things that happens to in the neophyte level. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti in the Madhurya Kandambini, he explains about these different, you know, things. That's one of them. When we become falsely proud of the achievements, you know, that the benedictions that we receive. And then now, you know, I can start to think, oh, well, maybe my Guru Maharaj doesn't have the full information, or doesn't know properly, or I don't, you know, I'm mature enough, I don't have to consult, you know, or sort of get the, you know, direction. I can be more independent, going back to that independent thing. But the fact is that in all times and all moments, we're fully depending, our devotional service is depending on the blessings of our spiritual master. And also the service that we do on behalf of the spiritual master to the community of devotees. So in all time, it's because of the spiritual master that we actually, that Krishna is accepting our service. It's through the spiritual master that Krishna accepts our service. When we do deity worship, we have to first ask permission to the spiritual master. We have first to worship the spiritual master, offer the spiritual master, and please, you know, through the spiritual master, it reaches Krishna. So we have to always remember that principle. We have to always remember the principle that anything that we do, anything that we achieve is simply the mercy of the spiritual master, his blessings upon us. And then that relationship that is based on the gratitude of having that kindness that is being bestowed upon us by the spiritual master just carries us, you know, into our sweet relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because there's reciprocation. Prabhupada says here that Prabhupada says, you know, that this is the way, this is basically the art of pleasing the Lord, that connection. It's through the spiritual master, through the devotee of the Lord, that type of worship. So it's the most important principle. It's the most important principle for us. It's the most important principle to actually very, very sincerely cultivate the desire to connect to the spiritual master and to become, Prabhupada uses the word, chaste disciple. A chaste disciple. A chaste disciple means that you're fully dedicated to your spiritual master and to the teachings of the spiritual master. And you always follow with great respect the instructions of the spiritual master. And it's explained that the instruction of the spiritual master is not just following the words of the spiritual master. The spiritual master says, okay, you do this particular service. You do book distribution like that. Or you preach, or, you know, you cultivate this group of people like that. It's not only follow the instructions, but we also have to understand the mood of the spiritual master. A disciple have to fully understand the mood of the spiritual master, how the spiritual, trying to follow in the footsteps of how the spiritual master acts, how he preaches, what is his mood, what is his spirit, what's in his heart. We have to understand. The first class disciple doesn't have to hear, he understands the heart of the spiritual master. He understands the purpose of the spiritual master. So we should strive for that, to understand, you know, those devotees who are guiding us, and with great gratitude you serve them and follow the example. So we should strive to act, to absorb how my Guru Maharaj, like that, our Guru Maharaj, you know, act, and how he carry out, how he preaches, how he thinks, like that. And we should follow that. That's part of being a chaste disciple. And understand that we always dependent. We always depending on the spiritual master. There's no such a time that we're independent. Even in the levels of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was always expressing his dependence on his spiritual master. So there's no such a thing of any time being but fully dependent on the mercy of the spiritual master. And that's how we satisfy Krishna. That's why we connect and being able to offer anything to Krishna. So that's why this worship, the worship of the spiritual master, is the greatest worship. It's the greatest worship. That's how I understand it, at least, you know. Anyway, I stop here. It was not a pretty slick, you know, nicely prepared class, but, you know, I hope you be able to say something useful. Yes.
Hare Bo. One point I'm trying to understand also is that how to preserve chastity at the same time there is room for individuality. We see, for example, in the life of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada sometimes says, I'm 90% more liberal than my Guru Maharaj. So Prabhupada was able to absorb that spirit of submission and surrender and acceptance of his Guru Maharaj's mood, but when he went and he preached, he had his individual presentation and all of these things also. So the kind of question that I've been having is how is the disciple to imbibe the exact same mood and spirit as the Guru? Or I've heard that also, well, there's room for individuality, that you may have your distinct persona, your specific devotional interests. You know, for example, sometimes there are spiritual masters who may be considered, okay, this is a, you know, sometimes in the devotee community they're considered more conservative or more liberal. So sometimes a spiritual master may be considered, well, this guru is very conservative. But is it that necessarily the disciple may not have a little more of a liberal view, or vice versa? So what is the room for individuality in that relationship?
Yeah, it's very good. Full room like that. And we just have to have a faith in the principle. I mean, the spiritual master knows your heart and knows your nature. In fact, the spiritual master is the one who gives you your swadharma. Your swadharma is too, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that understanding your nature, he prescribes, you know, your dharma according to your duties, according to your net, you know, psychophysical nature, your material duties, you know, according to your mood and to your thing, and your spiritual, you know, duties, your sadhana. So both things, the spiritual master guides you. So he knows. He knows you have. We have faith in the principle that he's the external representation, he's of the Chaita Guru, of, you know, of Krishna within the heart, the Paramatma. So he understands. The principle is there. So it's not necessarily that when I said that we have to follow, understand the mood of the spiritual master and follow, I'm talking more on the essence, you know, the essence of the spiritual master. How, like for example, Srila Prabhupada understood the mood of his spiritual master. What was his heart desires? The heart of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is as he wanted to fulfill, he wanted Krishna consciousness to go to the whole world. So that was the mission that he has. The Gaudiya Math mission was that, to create an institution that will take the message of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. That was his vision. That was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Srila Prabhupada understood that. Srila Prabhupada took that to heart. And Srila Prabhupada has full faith on each one of the things that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta envisioned and designed to create this institution. Full faith. And some of the things that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did were very, revolutionary. Very different than the tradition. He did few things that were, you know, some people were like, hey, what is this? Some, you know. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very strong. He had a vision. So even among some disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, eventually, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left this world, they didn't follow some of his instructions because they didn't understand, because they were so different. So it was not that Prabhupada necessarily didn't apply his individuality. You apply your individuality to fulfill the heart of your spiritual master, but you have to understand the heart of the spiritual master. That's a first-class disciple. You have to understand his mood. You have to understand. So that's the example that Srila Prabhupada gave. Srila Prabhupada understood that, and he established Srila Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. He says something very wonderful. He says that ISKCON, that is that that the Gaudiya Math was the, like the beta, the beta version of ISKCON. It was, you know, the designer of this ISKCON was actually Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Srila Prabhupada just, you know, took it to the next level, apply it. Every single thing was there. And that's why it was successful. He didn't change. He applied his individuality for fulfilling the heart of the spiritual master. So that's what I'm saying. We don't only have to, follow words like that. We have to understand the heart of your Guru Maharaj. And apply your individuality to it. That's a chaste disciple. So, is that all right?
Yeah. Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were mentioning the point of giving up our upadhis or motivations and speaking about the subject matter of gratitude. This reminds me of one story, a very important story one devotee told me, and maybe you could speak about it and elaborate on it. I'll briefly tell you, and this is a true story. I can tell you who the devotee is afterwards if I get his permission, but it's a very important story. It's kind of scary, actually. So what happened is that this devotee is maybe 6 feet tall. He met somebody on the street who owned the gallery, and this guy was in a suit, maybe 6'3", from the way he described it. So he went to the gallery, and this guy offered him a job. It was very opulent, Picasso. And he said he went upstairs. There was opulence everywhere, even like statues of Buddha and stuff like that. And so then they talk about, he talked about hiring his devotee. He said, I'll pay you $25 an hour and for very minimum work, basically. You know, it didn't add up. And so then the devotee said, well, you know, I have to think about it. And so then this guy said, wrong answer. And so long story short, this was kind of scary. Basically, this guy was, you know, had wrong motivations, obviously, you know, that's my whole point. He basically told this one guy devotee, you know, something like, take off your clothes or something, and, you know, so I could take pictures. And long story short, so obviously very demoniac. But long story short, he was there 6 hours. 6 hours. And, you know, because he didn't know whether the guy, you know, had a gun or whether he'd run. And basically what happened was is that he did eventually get out. This guy allowed him to call his friend. His friend came over. You know, they tried to hire their friend, but their friend wasn't going for that stuff. He was more, you know, but he was happy his friend was there. They got out. But the whole time he was in this meeting, this owner of the art gallery had a statue on the table while they were talking, and it was a bronze statue. And the statue was actually a statue of Krishna. And I thought that was, you know, very interesting. Of course, if that statue wasn't there. But the lesson that this devotee told me, basically he learned, or at least I got from him, is that after this incident, he was safe. He said he, you know, read Bhagavatam, you know, with obviously more gratitude, more intensity. This guy happened to be like had some record, but the whole lesson I learned is that of principle of gratitude, if we had to listen to a six-hour Bhagavatam class, we'll say this is torture. But if we got out of a situation like that, we'll say it's terrific. You know, if some devotee insults us, we're like, thank you, you know, thank you for making me humble. I appreciate it. So that's kind of the lesson I got, is that my question is that Maya always makes us think we got to have a better situation. You know, I can have better devotees around, you know, they're so rude, or, you know, I don't like the way they say. But if you, there's so many people who have war situations, getting bombed in different countries, homeless. And when you're put in that type of circumstances and you get out of it, you know, everything we hold so, you know, dear to our hearts, like fault finding and being ungrateful, they become less meaningless. So can you speak about that a little bit?
But the question is,
My question is that Maya always makes us think we gotta have better everything, better devotees around, and we complain, you know, we whine or whatever. That's our natural tendency when things don't go our way. But if we were to get out of a situation, you know, whatever calamity the situation is or a horrible situation, everything becomes whatever devotee we hate the most. If we got out of a situation like that, we'll be like, I love you, you know, I'm glad to see you.
Yeah.
So well, Maya always makes us think we have a, you know.
I say, you know, we, the in general, you know, the system that we've been given by Srila Prabhupada is very simple. We just have to simplify our lives, simplify our thinking, simplify everything. So no need to, just allow the mind itself is just very, is a very, it can get very complicated. So just this simple principle is a very simple for me, I think, to my understanding. You know, we are given the opportunity to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that opportunity is within a community of devotees. The principle that we receive, or the system that we receive, is called Sankirtan. Sankirtan means worshiping or glorifying the Lord in a congregation. So it means that, you know, among the devotees. So, simple. Just, you know, we can try to shut the mind and just do service to the devotees. Pass. And with that, you can be very, very safe. And then we can be very grateful about it. So just take the opportunity. Take the opportunity of come and just offer your service to the devotees. And that's it. It's a simple program. With sincerity and with whatever capacity we have, we can do that, and everything will, you know, will fall in place gradually. And we can say that. Yes, Prabhu.
You were saying about prasadam. Well, I don't find too many people that have problems with that.
Yeah.
But there's a, you know, like, how about the next, the level would be, would you like to wash the pots?
Yes.
Now, that takes a little more surrender, I think.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, I would... You know, you could see their face turn from glad to sad. So that just came to mind, you know.
That one shows also it's a little bit of a maturity as a devotee, you know, because there's no difference like that. I remember like one of the greatest time we had, you know, in the Brahmachari Ashram in Brooklyn was cleaning after the Sunday feast, because the fun part was that you have, you know, the whole crew of Brahmacharis just having a blast, you know, just chanting, you know, and cleaning the pots, and you know, everybody's there doing it, and it was a blast. It was great. Actually, yes, Prabhupada.
I was saying I heard a good time had by all except for the cleanup crew. A good time had by all except for the cleanup crew.
Yes.
Like somebody's got to walk behind the elephant with the shovel, you know. You know, I mean, they like the parade, but they don't want to walk behind the elephant with the shovel and clean up. You know? Yeah. So there's, you know, like different levels of maturity, like you say. And,
yeah.
You know, there is discrimination and dualities in devotional service also. It's filled with variety.
Yeah.
So, you know, that just kind of came to mind.
Yeah, it's amazing how that happens sometimes. I mean, you've seen it so many times. And it's just, again, I understand it as a prince. It's a question of maturity. Because you see sometimes devotees who are doing, you know, deity worship, and, you know, very, very attentive deity worship, but they don't like to clean. And the first thing that I was taught when I was taught to cook by this devotee, when Prabhupada says it, because it's in the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, the offering is not completed until that kitchen is, you know, sparkling clean, like that. It's like, you have to be, you can sit in the floor and actually, you know, being this, you know, it's perfectly clean, like that. So
I remember being in the Brooklyn Temple, you know, there for a Rath Yatra, and I went down in the basement. And then in the temple room also, there's no windows. In the basement, there's no windows. And I had devotees would come here for Maharaja's Vyasa Puja, and they were saying, wow, look at all these windows and lights. They have one door, I think, in the Brooklyn Temple that goes out into a courtyard.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no light. It was kind of... you know, there was some duality there, you know. They appreciated that there was light, you know.
Yes.
Because, I mean, at first I thought the Brooklyn Temple kitchen was like a dungeon, you know. And then they had some water damage, and I guess they fixed it up. I went there in 97, and then I went there in 2001 when the towers came down. Uh-huh. And there it was, like, improved. But they're still there, right?
Yes. No, yeah. The towers?
No. I mean, they're still at... You're still at the Brooklyn Temple at Skirmerhorn, right? They're still there.
Yes, they're still there. They're still there.
Yeah, yeah. It was quite an experience.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, but just going back to that point of cleanliness, is such an important thing, and it's a question of maturity, too. Sometimes, you know, we leave here, oh, well, you know, I don't need to clean. For whatever reason, I can... You know, I'm doing this important service or that important service, so, you know, the new bhaktas can clean, you know, the congregation can clean, you know. I'm a brahmana. Brahmanas, you know, are doing more important work, you know. We have to, you know, do this or do that, preach and this and that. But so, no, that's the cleaning... This, we're the servants of the deity. Imagine, you know, living in someone else's house and making a mess and not playing and not cleaning.
Yeah.
We're most is something that is, if we do it with the same mood that of, you know, offering incense to the deity, it's the same thing, you know, cleaning the temple room, cleaning the kitchen, cleaning, at least cleaning after you eat, you know, how in the world we can live in Krishna's house and come down and see something dirty? Yeah. And you call yourself a servant of Krishna. You know, is have to be done, at least it's common sense, it's maturity.
They have a saying, a Brahmin leaves a place cleaner than when he found
it. That's it.
I have these little experiments I do sometimes. There'll be a piece of paper on the floor, and I'll leave it there, and because I want to see if somebody, I could pick it up, but I just want to see if somebody else is going to pick it up. Yeah. And it could be sitting there for days.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'll see it there, you know. But I just want to give somebody else a chance, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. How about when you find, you know, some stach prasadam, you know, sitting there, you know, like for days, you know?
Yeah, I see that too. That's like, you know, I see that in a refrigerator, you know. And it's kind of like, well, we have short memories, you know. So.
No. Actually, when you get into the mood of cleaning, but cleaning for the right reasons, cleaning, you know, because it's Krishna's house, you know, and we're just so grateful, you know, for, you know, you there's no difference. This temple room, all this paraphernalia, there's no difference from Krishna. This is all Kishore Kishori. It's Kishore Kishori's place. So you have to be as beautiful and as clean as, you know, the altar.
Yeah.
That's what Prabhupada said.
Yeah, Prabhupada said, you think I'm sitting on the floor, but I'm sitting on Krishna.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
One experiment also I had is, it was the first time I ever did this. The refrigerator downstairs, I noticed there was like three plates of prasadam and they had a piece of paper on top. So I lifted up the paper and I can tell kind of how old it is by looking at the rice. You know, when the rice starts getting real hard.
Already solidified.
Yeah. So there was three plates there and they were all like hard and they were from different people because it was different prasadam. So I put it on the table there in the sink, you know. Just so devotees might, you know, they might remember, oh, I left that in there about a week ago, you know. Or that could have been there 10 days ago, you know. But, you know, that's one experiment I had. And, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, we should not do that, you know. I mean, that's an important part of the training of being here.
Yeah.
Is Krishna's home. So, and the other thing is like, you know, we are Krishna's servants in his house, so also when guests come, they have to be treated as, you know, they're Krishna's guests, so they're very important. It's Krishna's devotees, Krishna's guests. So we you know, our thing here is that we're getting fully trained and we have to embrace it, yeah, to be a servant. You know, and being the servant in Krishna's house, that's, you know, that's a Vaikunthavasi.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
You can act in two ways when the guests come. You can act as a security guard, or you can act as like a maitre d' or something, you know. But it depends on, Prabhupada said, we don't know who's coming through our door, you know.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know, first you become conscious, then you become Krishna conscious. So, you know, preliminary.
Yeah, yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. We stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.